Good morning, St. Michael's. Those of you in the sanctuary, please be seated. Those of you at home, I hope you're already sitting down. So I have never been a comic book superhero aficionado, but over the years, because I love my husband and I am admittedly entertained by the temporary escape into a fantastical world, I have humored him and watched the seemingly endless stream of blockbuster movies and television shows about yet another superhero. And they're all fun and entertaining, but I confess I feel no investment or gravitas in their quests, with one exception, the Netflix series Daredevil. As a priest, I found this character captivating, blinded, and orphaned at an early age. At the young age, he is taken in by a local Roman Catholic church and convent. He's raised by the nuns and the priests there and grows up a devout Roman Catholic. His superhero powers come from training his other four senses to be extremely heightened. But for me, his intrigue as a character comes from his internal struggle with good and evil. Like many superheroes, he works as a vigilante, bringing down the bad guys who evade the long arm of the law. And because he does this by way of physical violence, he finds himself turning to the sacrament of confession regularly, struggling with his morality, asking a priest for forgiveness for the bad things that he has done or is about to do for the sake of the good. So I couldn't help but be invested in Matt Murdock slash Daredevil's inner conflict as he grappled with what is good and what is evil, what is righteous and what is sinful, who gets to play judge and jury to the actions of others, and what justice looks like, what makes a person an enemy, and how we respond to their wrongdoing. Daredevil explored a complicated question. Is it okay, and does God think it's okay, to achieve good by means of evil? Is it holy to right a wrong by doing wrong in return? And in the world of comic books and fantasy, where you can neatly separate people into simple categories of good guy and bad guy, the answer is easy. Yes, of course it's okay. The goal is to get the bad guy, and the good guys do what they need to do in order to get the bad guy, and you're rooting them on the entire time. But in the real world, people don't always fit into such neat categories. And the Bible doesn't give us the answer that a vigilante might hope for. In fact, the Bible seems to offer a pretty strong opposing argument. Take, for example, Joseph's embrace of his murderous, traitorous brothers. I think it's a shame that we don't read the entire story of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and we only get the tail end of that story today. But hopefully it's a story that you all know well. It's a story about extreme betrayal and remarkable forgiveness. Or we have the words from Psalm 37, refrain from anger, leave rage alone, do not fret yourself, it leads only to evil. And St. Paul, in a different letter than what we read from this morning, in his letter to the Romans, he says, do not return evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. And Jesus says to us today, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. The Bible sure seems to suggest that in our world, it is not our job to put anyone in the bad guy box, let alone decide their fate. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. But what about when there really is a bad guy? What about when true evil has been done? Do these words hold up if they were spoken to, say, an enslaved person being beaten for not working hard enough in the hot summer sun? What if they were told to my great-grandmother as she was marched to her death through the Ottoman desert? Or to the victim of sexual or racial violence? Well, The Bible has a lot to say about that too. For example, the prophet Isaiah reminds God's people about what God desires. Is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, act with justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor anyone who has been robbed." Or we have Jesus cleansing the temple of people conducting shady business there, turning over their tables and running them out. After all, as the prophet Micah reminds us, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God? It can seem like loosening the chains of injustice and speaking out against evil can stand in direct opposition to judge not, lest ye be judged. Even Jesus's own life can leave us confused. When an armed mob came for him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did not fight back. He told his disciples to lay their swords down. He even healed that soldier's ear, you know, the one Peter cut off in his fit of rage. But Jesus also stormed the temple, turned over the tables, let his rage take flight when he witnessed sinful behavior. So which is it? Are we supposed to reject evil and stand up to injustice, or are we not supposed to stand in judgment of anything? Well, during this Black History Month, I've been reflecting on the writings of Bayard Rustin, who introduced the method of nonviolent resistance to Martin Luther King Jr. and organized the March on Washington. He had such a clear vision of the way that nonviolence would change the world. It's almost like he was guided by our collect this morning. Without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. His movement of nonviolent resistance, which he learned about from Gandhi, employed God's unbounded love, to confront the evils of racism. Unfortunately, as an openly gay man, he was unable to stay on the front lines of the fight for civil rights. LGBTQ plus rights were still several decades away. But his impact on the civil rights movement reaches far and wide, and his stories about using nonviolent resistance in his everyday life, despite the frequent attacks that he endured, are awe-inspiring. His capacity to love had superhero strength. The nonviolent resistance movement takes this question, whether we should stand up to injustice or not stand in judgment of anyone, and says, yes, you must do both. In a speech, Rustin says, "We must remember that we cannot hope to achieve democracy and equality in such a way that would destroy the very kind of society which we hope to build. If we desire a society of peace, then we cannot achieve such a society through violence. If we desire a society without discrimination, then we must not discriminate against anyone in the process of building this society. If we desire a society that is democratic, then democracy must become a means as well as an end. If we desire a society in which men are brothers, then we must act towards one another with brotherhood. If we can build such a society, then we would have achieved the ultimate goal of human freedom." Bayard Rustin knew that it was not holy to right a wrong with another wrong. And he also knew that it was holy to name injustice whenever he experienced or witnessed it. He trusted in Jesus's words, "The measure you give will be the measure you get back." He spoke truth and did not condemn. He found the difference between naming evil and doing evil in return. One might say the difference between justice and vengeance. In the examples Jesus gives in our gospel this morning, "Bless those who curse you, turn the other cheek, give your shirt if someone steals your coat," in Jesus's time, these would have been unheard of responses to that kind of wrongdoing. To us, in our 21st century ears, it kind of sounds like he's asking us to just be a doormat. But in the social codes of his day, that kind of response would have completely disempowered and embarrassed the perpetrator. It was the original path of nonviolent resistance. Loving our enemies is not weakness. It is the daring proclamation of the kingdom of God. Without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Loving those who love you is so easy, even the bad guys can do it. Our faith asks us, how far does your love extend? Does it extend only to those who reciprocate? Can it extend further? Summoning that kind of love may require superhero strength. And in this world, it is the only thing that will save us. Amen.